So welcome to Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, writers, and directors of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr as sfincolor.
So we're going to be trying something a little bit new this week. Because of, my work schedule, it's kind of hard to find time to edit this whole thing. So we're going to try to go with minimal editing. So hopefully there's no crazy weird audio things like sniffles or scratching or neighbors or airplanes or a whole host of things. Hopefully that won't happen. And if it does, well, sorry. But I need to sleep. So it's kind of important.
Good. So
sleeping is very good.
We're going to be talking about Men in Black today.
Yes. And from 1997, the original film.
Yes.
Featuring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones as K and J.
I'm definitely not going to get those mixed up.
So, did your phone just go off? Yeah. Girl, I already have to edit this? I already have to edit? Okay, no. Fine. I have to write down the time code for this error. God, Melissa.
Sorry, okay. I'm just really, really popular.
I'm sure you are.
Okay, so let's get started.
Back to this. So, yes, what'd Men you in think? Black. I actually liked the film. It was better. Well, it was better than I expected it would be. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. I have lots of different thoughts, and I also have an amusing anecdote to share that's related to Men in Black and Disney World. So I will share that probably a little bit later, but
that's a nice little teaser.
I just wanted to get that out there before I forget, but I enjoyed the film. There were maybe a couple plot things that kind of bothered me. But other than that, I found it really fun. And
I
fairly well put together. Yeah,
I agree. I honestly also like this movie a lot more than I had expected to. Not that I expected not to like it, but I didn't really have any thoughts going into it. Like Independence Day, it's a movie that's kind of, become on the popular culture lexicon thing. We kind of know about it without ever seeing it.
Well, I think
pieces of
based
it.
On when we... Well, based on when we, grew up, I think I grew up seeing bits and pieces of it on TV. So, I remember the ending, because I remember watching the ending,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really understand the context for it. I remember different pieces of the film that I had seen just because it was, on TV for a split second and I caught that bit. But I never sat down and watched, the whole thing from beginning to end. So, to do that yesterday was really nice.
Well, I don't really mean...
I don't know if it's really in the pop cultural lexicon,
I mean?
It's not very quotable or anything. I mean, I guess you have the little
quotable,
the flashy
thing. I think a lot of the kind of quips are pretty quotable, and I think
It's not Monty Python level.
Well, no, but, it doesn't have to be Monty Python level to be quotable. I think Will Smith's lines were memorable. I can't remember them, but that's not...
That's not memorable. The definition of memorable would mean that you would remember it.
It's not memorable. So many important things. If that was going to be used as the definition of memorable, we'd really have a problem.
Your mind has been wiped too many times, Melissa. Maybe that's the problem.
No, what I mean is that exactly the mind wipe and... stuff like that, a lot of those kind of ideas are things that I knew about. I've never seen a second of this movie until I watched it yesterday. Not seen any of it. And I don't think I know people... I mean, I guess I must know people who watch it, but no one who's ever talked about it. And yet, I still know parts of the movie. There are still things that they referenced that I was like, oh yeah, I do remember that. And so that's just kind of come to me. I do read, Entertainment Weekly. I read the newspaper, the Life section. I don't know where these things have come from, but I did have a familiarity with the plot and some of the characters. And it was surprising that I kind of knew as much as I did, but No, it wasn't a problem. I really enjoyed it.
That's kind of how I felt when I watched, like, the Star Trek 2009 film. Like, it felt very familiar to me, even though I had never seen anything from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that pop cultural osmosis or whatever.
How does that even happen?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go in depth about that.
It was
that,
a rhetorical question, sure. Maggie.
Yeah. Sorry for being overly literal today.
That's okay.
But yeah, I mean...
It was a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I would totally watch it again with friends and stuff. Like, it was fun.
I mean, I would recommend it to people who haven't seen it. I don't think I really need to. It has, like, a...
It's not, like, so mind-blowingly amazing, but, like, it's a fun, you know, like, flick to just put on and just relax. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's not gonna change the way you think about the world, but that's not necessarily why I watch most
of the
movies.
It's no Children of Men, right? It's no Children of Men.
Don't talk to me about Children of Men.
Are you still triggered by that?
Triggered is your word of the week, Maggie.
Yeah, it really is. I think I started seeing it a lot after the whole presidency thing happened, and then I was like, yes, I forgot this word was a thing. Anyway, speaking of, right, I thought it was almost timely that we start off the movie with illegal aliens, as it were.
Yeah, I did notice that. But
it kind of made me go,
But I liked how throughout the film, you know, the alien immigration was kind of used as a metaphor for actual immigration.
Yeah, right? Again, like, I don't remember at all anyone telling me that Men in Black had anything to do with immigration. So it's not like when we picked this film, we were like, it just kind of coincidentally happened to work out thematically. But hopefully if you're listening to our podcast, you're not on, I guess, the other side of the aisle.
That is awful to say, Maggie. We cannot ostracize anyone. We want everyone, even your Gary Johnson supporters. That didn't mean to be as much of a joke as it was. Maggie, I didn't want to bring up politics.
I did.
Oh my god.
Anyway, okay, we can move on from that. But I just thought, it was timely considering, like, you know, the elections were, what, last week, and a big part of the rhetoric was about, you know, immigration and things like that. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting because, like, you know, they who is it? Is it Kay? Yeah, Kay, or Tommy Lee Jones' character. He makes, like, a side remark about, like, keeping the illegal aliens out to the border patrol police. Mm-hmm. But if you want us to start from the very beginning, I guess, you know, it's an old film when the credits come first and not at the end. So I was like, oh, you get to know everyone's names and everything. And I was like, who the heck? I know, but that's what I mean. Like, it's like the whole putting all the credits at the end because no one cares is a rather new convention, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not, like, super new, but, like, obviously, this was back in 97, so it's
been... I feel
like
it was already
almost 20
in 97.
Years.
I don't want to make a...
Say what?
...blanket statement on that, because I'm not... That's not my area of expertise, but I feel
pretty
like...
sure in the 90s it was conventional to put the credits in the front.
I'll take your word for that, then.
Because, I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, it just feels like only recently have people stopped putting credits in the beginning. I'm sure, I feel like Legally Blonde had credits in the beginning, and that came out in 2004, I think, right? Or 2002?
I'm not going to make a statement on that because I can't be wrong about Legally Blonde. I love that movie so much.
I'm, like, so sure it came out in 2004. Now I have to look it up. Okay. Legally Blonde.
Okay, while you do that, Men in Black. That's the movie we're talking about.
Yes. It came out in 2001. Sorry. My bad.
I did think 2004 was a little late, but I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to be wrong. That's the story of my life.
Whatever, Melissa. Anyway, so in the credits, I just thought the font was kind of weird. I don't know. I guess I would have chosen a different font for the credits. It was almost... it was like a weird serif that was not exactly Twilight Zone-y, but it was like a weird serif font. And I was like... I would have probably picked a more modern, sleeker font for Men in Black, but that's just me. And I was like, who the heck is Rip Torn? What kind of name is Rip Torn?
I had the same thought. I was like, rest in peace, Torn.
But, right? It sounds like a pun, like a punny kind of name, but no, that's the guy's real name, and it's like, Rip is like a family name. I guess like Rip Van Winkle. Maybe that's the Rip that it's referring to. Not like that specific Rip. Yeah, but you know what
yeah,
I mean.
I know what you mean. I don't know.
So I was like, who the heck is Rip Torn? What kind of name is this? And then I also was thinking, who is doing the music for this? Because it's so like, it's so familiar. And then it was like Danny Elfman. I was like oh yep. Yeah, that guy.
Yep.
I feel like he does like weird movies. He scores weird movies, but.
Or maybe honestly, they're weird because he scores them. Cause and effect.
I don't think that's how it works, but.
No, I love his musical scores, whether in this or in other projects. Just good stuff. Music in this movie was very fitting. It was just good. I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of this podcast is just going to be like, yeah, this was good.
Well, I have a couple major issues with certain things, so I'd like to delve into that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just going chronologically. So we start off with, we're following this dragonfly as it's flying around a highway or something. And
it gets smushed.
There's credits happening. It gets squished and against a windshield. And then he was, like, the guy driving curses about the bugs or whatever. And I was like, okay, so hopefully, with any good movie, you're gonna hope that the beginning
ties back.
Line or scene is, is, like, thematically part of the movie, not just some random thing. Which, yes, the whole, it just ties back into everything. Or into the, at least the main villain is considered a bug, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I like that. Yeah. I wasn't crazy about the CGI dragonfly or anything,
there were some CGI issues throughout the film. I try and give it, you know, a little bit of slack because it was the 90s. There were things that looked kind of silly.
Listen, man, have you ever seen Space Odyssey 2000?
I've seen pieces of it.
Because that movie was made in the 60s, but the special effects look modern. Or at least certain special effects don't look like they don't have that like, oh, that looks fake look. I was actually like, wow, this is actually really crisp and like it looks like it was made in like 2010. Because Stanley Kubrick put it that much money into the whole thing. Like, so, and that was the 60s. So I'm just like, you know, I guess we can kind of be a little more lenient with older special effects, but like I always think about like, well, Kubrick made it work. So,
well, I mean, we're not all Kubrick.
That's true. It would be a pretty bad place if we were all Kubrick.
I don't think that's a very fair...
Right. I guess he's, like, on a whole other level. But, like, still. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah.
You can make things look really good, even if you don't have, say, the technology or whatever for it. Because practical effects and models and mats and I have to edit that out. Okay, time to write myself down that time code. Hey. doing a great job of this no edit podcast here. anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I just think about that movie and how it was old, yet the effects still look pretty good. I mean, you could still tell that it was made in the 60s because of some certain choices in clothing and style, but you know, overall I think it holds up. But anyway, that was just a side.
I don't know, like I'd rather more creative movies get told even if they don't necessarily have the effects for it, and we just to like deal with it basically.
Absolutely. Like the effects are not that big of like, it's not like, oh, that's gonna make or break my perception of the film.
Yeah, you know, basically.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some movies with really good effects, but not a good movie.
Right. So, yeah, do you have anything about the credits or opening before we kind of delve into the first scene?
No.
So this guy is driving a truck full of... I'm sorry, I'm really tired. This is why we edit, guys. So this is where you're going to hear all our edited stuff that would normally be edited out. You're going to hear it all.
Yeah, because we're like super professional, usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, generally I clean up the audio for a while. But anyway, back to this. So we open with a guy driving a truck full of undocumented immigrants across the border. And what's his face? Jay and his other partner end up kind of stopping the truck because they're looking for an actual extraterrestrial alien, not a
that puts all undocumented immigrant kind of issues in perspective. And I feel like they do that for, like, that happens in a lot of sci-fi movies, you know, where it's like humans have to band together and put aside our differences to defeat the alien threat. And even though that doesn't...
Was that a thing that happened in this movie?
I was just about to say that, Maggie. I was about to get to it. I'm saying, although that isn't a thing that necessarily happened in this movie, that was definitely a thematic issue, which is like, oh, gosh, we have some bigger issues than just, you know, cultural differences across humanity, you know?
Yeah, and, like, people trying to cross the border for a better life or whatever, whatever. Right. So... what's his, I keep thinking that his name is K or J. Or I keep getting mixed up. So K deals with the situation, talks to the other, I guess, well, we don't know if they're Mexican, but the other, like, Hispanics or Latinos in the group. And then he's talking to one. He susses out that one of them does not speak Spanish.
Awkward.
And that's our guy. So, yeah, they go to deal with him. So thinking about that first scene, I don't know why when he saw the ranger or whoever the heck that border patrol guy with the hat, I don't know why upon seeing him he felt the need to kill him, because, like, why didn't he kill the men in black? You know what I mean? Like, what was that all about?
Well, I guess the way that I thought about it, and I don't know if this is legit or not, but, like, the aliens have some kind of awareness of who the men in black are. And kind of their familiarity with alien life, I guess. And so, like, the ranger would be kind of an easier target and wouldn't be able to put up with his crap as much.
I'm just going to go back to that old standby for actors. What's the motivation? Like, I don't understand why he, like, was he hungry? Did he feel he was a threat? Like, he just randomly turned, saw him, and then just went after him. I mean, the thing that I kind of immediately go to is, it's for the audience members wearing 3D glasses to be spooked and stuff, because he jumps at the screen. But, like, other than that, I don't really get what was happening. I mean, I understand for us, the audience, that scene is to establish that aliens exist in the universe, and blah, 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 exposition, all that good stuff, but... I just was like, I don't... Also, that ranger, Border Patrol guy, had, like, no sense of self-preservation, like, whatsoever. He just, like, stood there and stared and gawped and, like, was like, ah! And, like, he didn't try to run. I was like, dude.
I mean, yeah. Then, yeah. Would I be better? I don't know.
I'd like to think that you would at least try to run.
I am very good at running away, that's true.
Anyway, I don't have too much about the too much more about I don't have anything more about that scene, actually. Do you have anything on that?
No, I mean, we do get the first use of the memory erasing neuralizers in work, which is one of those things that I was, you know, kind of familiar with, kind of that idea. That's scary. I think that's one of the scarier things. Not like it's like I'm spending all night thinking about it, kind of scary. But
right,
it's an idea which has popped up in sci-fi before, but playing with memories always gets a little funky.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely tons of sci-fi movies that play around with the idea, right? Memento, you have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I think is the title. Tons of, you know,
Doctor Who.
Messing around with people's memories. Like, Inception, like, that's a huge one, right?
Yeah.
Doctor Who, yeah. So many.
Well, I mean, because memories are so precious to us, you know, what are we without them? It's...
Right. We wouldn't be anything without
Our
memories, right?
We don't really dive into the implications.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's very, like, surface, like, touched upon.
Like,
and Will Smith makes light of it, sort of, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know... For everyone that it was used on, it, you know, it essentially ends up being okay. But
right.
it's kind of a darker issue. Like, you know, the fact that Will Smith, Jay, right? He's
yes.
Jay.
Jay.
He...
Because his name is James, I think. That's why they call him Jay.
Oh. That makes sense. But, like, you know, it was used on him. And he,
right.
There's no way to get, I guess, to regain your memory. Like, it's gone.
No.
But, like, he has, like, a whole night erased, essentially. right. this whole experience that we, the audience, know about, but he doesn't. And the woman.
Oh, right. Whatever. So I'm looking up her name. Her name is Laura Weaver. I don't think we ever got her name.
Okay, Laura.
And if we did, it was not Weaver. Mentioned that much.
Yeah.
Laurel Weaver.
Yes.
So, yeah, Laurel also gets her memory wiped.
And, you know, even, times, right? you know, Jay mentions it. Like, you know, you don't know what you're doing because you keep using the device on her. And it's used as a joke. And
right.
that's fine.
But it could be a lot darker.
It could have been. And I'm glad it was. Like, yeah. I needed, like, a movie to make me laugh and to, like, not think about Absolutely. The worst parts of the universe these days. But,
yeah.
you know, it is kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, I guess I wasn't too bothered by it because, yeah, it wasn't the main focus of the movie. And also, kind of just, like, I've seen the memory thing be done more in depth and more. I mean, I guess my problem, I don't know if it was really a problem, but one of the things I thought about with the memory wiper was, like, okay, so you wipe their memory by just, like, pressing the button so they see the flash, and then you tell them what their new memory is, and, like, I don't know. That's kind of weak to me, but, like, I guess it works for this.
I mean, I think...
At first, I was under the impression that it was, like, they pressed a button, and then whatever particular thing they want, like, I guess my problem with it is, like, I don't know, how do they know that, how do I put this, like, when you wipe someone's memory, say they saw an alien for, like, 5 minutes and you wipe their memory, how do you know that you've erased those 5 minutes and not, like, a longer span of time? I guess, but that's, like, me nitpicking and thinking way too much about it.
They have a thing on the side at the very
end. Oh, right, yeah, sorry, yeah, that didn't come into play until, like, way later.
Wait, right. For how long it is. So I kept thinking that, like, what if you make a mistake? Like, you click the wrong button and you erase whoops. Somebody's years.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true.
And then, like, how do you not... I mean, like, you could be creating something and in this false memory. Because, like, humans like to fill in the gaps. Like, they can give a Absolutely. Nice summary of what happened. And your mind will do it. Because, I mean, even in real life... there are false
we do
memories.
It all the time.
Yeah
but
like, how does this work logistically, like, that if you fill it in, let's say, with meeting up with a friend or something, and the friend doesn't verify? I mean, I guess nobody thinks that much, and well, I do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah I do. Yeah, I mean, it's not, again, it's not super important to this particular story.
It's so unimportant, it's ridiculous.
But it's just, yeah, like, us being the critical thinkers that we are, we're gonna nitpick this. So,
like,
yeah.
I'm not even complaining. Like, this isn't a complaint to have about the movie. I'm glad we didn't go into it, because that would be dark as crap.
yeah.
But it was just kind of something I kept thinking about after the movie was over, so.
Yeah. So, on to Will Smith.
Yeah.
So, those baggy 90s clothes. I mean, what other era has had baggier clothes? No other era.
His
No other era that I can think of.
So, they were pieces of art. Like, they should have gone off of his body and then gotten hung in the Guggenheim.
Wait, I'm looking something up right now because I feel like... So, I could be completely wrong.
You could be.
But one of Will Smith's outfits, the one where he has the red jacket when he's taking the test, wasn't that what Drake was wearing in Hotline Bling? Like, I could be completely wrong. I want to look it up now.
I have no idea.
But I want to say he was wearing a similar outfit. I'm not talking about the sweater or whatever it is. No, I'm wrong.
Sweater.
Well, okay. Okay. So, in Hotline Bling, I'm looking at a screen cap. Drake is wearing this, like, puffy, orangey-red jacket, a white shirt, I think those are jeans, and, like, those, like, yellow Timberland boots or whatever. Mm. And I want to say, I don't remember, let's see if I can find a screen cap of Will Smith in Men in Black taking that test, because I swear to God, something about that made me go, Drake? Or I guess, like, the opposite, but I don't know.
I found his fashion choices inspiring.
Pictures of him in the suit. So, say what?
I found his fashion choices inspiring. Like, I was inspired by them.
'90s were a different time, man.
They were
freaking wild.
And you know what?
See, okay, so This isn't, I don't know if I can share my screen with you on Skype, but let me see if I can do that real fast to show you what I'm talking about. But, okay, start. Okay, so, do you see he has, like, a red, like, it's not the same jacket at all, but he has, like, the white shirt and the red jacket, and it, for some reason, it just kind of reminded me of this. I guess it's not that similar, but whatever.
They're both, it just kind of made me go, jackets with a white...
Red jackets and white shirts. I don't know, man. I mean, whatever.
It's not wrong of you to come to that conclusion, I guess. It just, I would have never thought of it myself.
It was super random for sure.
But that's okay, because that's who we are. but
yeah, so the baggy 90s clothes, running around New York City, obviously. Because obviously. And I think I wrote parkour flip when the alien did the flip off the wall. And then promptly started climbing it in an unhuman-like fashion.
Yeah,
and
parkour. I was like,
okay.
Yeah, it was nice to kind of establish Jay's, like, how good he is at his job. I mean, he doesn't necessarily get the credit that he deserves, we see. At least in this particular case, we don't really know about his, like, life. We don't really know really anything about his life.
We don't know anything about his life. Yeah.
But... you know, we see him being really good at his job and running really fast, and I'm like, oh, yay, this is going to develop faster than I expected. I don't know.
Right, there's no, like, there's no learning curve.
There's no training montage necessary. Well, God, I mean, there actually kind of was.
There was supposed to be, but then it turned into another thing entirely, and yeah.
No, but just, I don't know. I watched a really bad movie. Well, I watched the first 40 minutes of a really bad movie a few days ago.
What was it called?
Called Seventh Son. If you've never heard of it.
Who directed it?
Be glad. I don't know who directed it, but...
who was in it?
It was Jeff Daniels and Ben Barnes, which is the reason that I was interested, because I have a crush on Ben Barnes. That's a long-standing fact. Everyone should know that. I saw him in Prince Caspian, and he was beautiful. Anyway, I watched Seventh Son, and it was about this seventh son who was training to be this magic guy. It was an awful movie. I won't explain it anymore. But the point is that it really reminded me of a lot of, you know, sci-fi fantasy, where you start with the Luke Skywalker. You start with that character who knows absolutely nothing. And it's, I understand, it's a really good entrance to a foreign idea or a foreign world, but it is so boring and so frustrating if it's not done well. And I love when movies like this
cut to the chase literally.
That was good.
Hey.
Okay,
sorry,
it wasn't,
but
that
we literally
good.
Cut to a chase scene.
No, but yeah, it was, we didn't have to, and we do get, you know, the introduction to the world from someone who doesn't know about it, obviously, as he becomes an agent. He still, even when he's, like, hilariously incompetent or whatever, it's more of kind of, like, a personality quirk than a legitimate issue in the film.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have much more about that scene. I mean, I think if you're okay with it, can we go on to the scene at the farm?
Yes. Let's do it.
So we get a shot of the countryside, which, I don't, something about that shot, the way it was framed or lit or both, was really weird looking. It looked super fake to me. I don't know if you got that same vibe from the...
I didn't.
Like, it's the very first time we see the farm.
No, I know.
Like,
what
the cow's
mean.
In one part, and the barn house is in another part, and the sauce is coming down, but it looked super fake and weird, and it just kind of gave me a sense of unease and bothered me. But maybe that's what they were going for. I really don't know.
It's hard to say. But I really liked how quickly they established the scene and the characters. Like, they did it very few pieces of dialogue, and you already kind of had a full understanding because of our knowledge of
who these people were and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and then you don't care about the person he kills because he's a jerk, and, you know, you're fine with that. Very expedited process.
It's a,
but yeah.
Good job. Props all around.
So I said, I wrote down, okay, I totally was like, I guess I didn't really have too many notes about the farm scene. I mean, it was kind of gross when he stretched the skin over his face or whatever. I don't really understand, like, fainting. Like, I don't think I would have fainted. I think, do people actually faint from terror? Is that a thing that actually happens? Because, like, I have never fainted from terror. I have, like, screamed. I have to bleep so much stuff out. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Like, screamed and, like, ran away and yelling, I get. But, like, I don't understand, like, fainting in terror. Like, that doesn't...
I would be somebody who would faint in terror.
Have you ever fainted in terror?
No, but I don't think I've been afraid enough. I've never... that's not true. I've been afraid many times in my life, but I've never been... If, like, in a horror movie, I would totally be someone who would faint. I can just imagine that. Because I would start, like... I don't know, maybe I'd panic and hyperventilate and then faint. Maybe it wouldn't be such an expedited process. I don't know. Let's not see, okay?
Yeah, no, I don't want to test that theory out. I'm just like, I just find it so unrealistic when people faint from terror, but that's because I can't imagine myself doing it, and I don't really understand how that... I guess it's possible.
It must be possible.
Again, my natural reaction would be to run away and scream and, like, freak out, not, like...
Yeah.
Pass out?
I mean... I guess. Yeah.
There have been times where I'm like, okay, this situation is too much for me, and I'm, like, trying to take a nap or sleep through it, but, like, straight up fainting seems a little bit different.
I mean,
I don't know.
In this particular case, and in a lot of cases where it happens, it's just convenient, you know?
Yeah.
Because in this case...
Badlands!
Well, yeah, basically, it's just, like, in this... She needed to stay alive and remain in her house so that they could the agents could come and visit her. But she needed to stay alive, which didn't seem.
Yeah, no, I understand, but like, I'm just saying, like, fainting I get it for the story. Yeah, it makes sense, but I'm just like, do people actually faint?
I don't know. We can Google that afterwards.
Yeah, but I wrote down the line high beams and low beams because I found that to be a pretty good line when he was talking about the guy he's chasing when Jay is chasing the suspect and like his eyes do that weird thing and he's describing it to the other police officers and one of them goes high beams and low beams. Like, that was a good line. Oh, half the man. That was also another good line. Are we taking a break now? Okay, I have to mark the time code. So much hope. You gave me hope that I was gonna be able to eat my freaking veggie fries, and then I wasn't able to, and now I'm sad.
My sister's gonna be home soon anyway, and so then you can eat your veggie fries then.
Okay. Let me write down the time code so I know where to cut to. It's what is it right now? 30 something. 33:51. Yeah. Alright, so what was I saying? I think I was talking about the interrogation. No, it wasn't really an interrogation scene necessarily, but
it was
when he's in that interrogation room and they're kind of interviewing him about what happened when he was chasing the suspect. I liked Will Smith's joke about like you're like literally half the man that I'm literally half the man you are because of like his size.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, I mean, I liked how quickly they kind of established how. I mean. Will Smith likes his job, it seems, but he doesn't like love his job, and I don't think he's being properly appreciated.
Right.
And so I think that was kind of set up very quickly and very well. And you know, he starts getting some of the real. It's interesting because you know he doesn't even remember what happens, you know.
Right.
But you know.
Yeah. We do. I'm just trying to look at my notes and decipher things. And I think I know what I was talking about, but this was last night. So I everything wrote down. Was different then. Yeah, everything was so much different yesterday. I think this is in reference to the, what do you call it? The Neuralizer? Yeah. Is that the official name?
My sister's home.
Oh, okay. Can I just quickly say this before you go? Okay, I said, like, why is it, it's just a button? There's no, like, password or passlock on it. Like, that seems dangerous.
That actually does seem like a really bad idea.
Yeah. So, do we need to break again?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll break and then we'll come back. We're back. Okay. So, when we left off, we were talking about how the Neuralizer doesn't have a password on it or a passcode on it, which seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, that means that my iPhone is more protected than something that could be used to erase memory. So that's probably not the best solution.
Can your phone be used to erase memories, Melissa?
I mean, it's more used to gain memories that I lost, perhaps, as I retrace my steps.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say I can neither confirm nor deny your accusations, but
That's true. If you want me to respond the way you want me to, you might as well
just kidding.
Do it.
Anyway, I don't think I have too many notes about that. I just started talking. I started taking notes after they leave the shop where the guy who looks really weird, he turns out to be an alien and has like all these exotic alien guns or whatever.
Yeah, he was a cool
dude. Do you want to talk about that scene when they're in the gun shop or not really?
I mean, there's nothing that much going on or right there. I mean,
right.
It was cool. You know, I like how kind of both surprised and matter of fact Jay was about the whole thing.
Right.
Like, it wasn't over the top, but like it was not so, like, the two of them.
Yeah, he wasn't like, what? My whole life is changed. Like, it wasn't like that. But he also wasn't, like, completely underwhelmed. Like, okay.
Yeah, it was a good mix. And I really like the relationship that Jay and Kay have. You know?
Yeah.
They're right next to each other in the alphabet. And, you know.
JK.
There's nothing.
JK.
There's nothing that can come between them.
Aw, that's adorable.
No, but I, like, they played really well off of each other throughout the whole thing. And, you know, even though Kay has, you know, the more knowledge and more experience, you know, Jay brings something to the table, too. And
I was going to say he brings something fresh. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I think they both, they really play off each other well. Like, you know, a lot of times Kay is very deadpan and very, like, not amused.
It's like the whole, like, straight man and then, I don't know, I can't remember what the other counterpart is called, but, like, that kind of thing, right?
The gay man.
I don't think Jay is gay in this. But I can't remember what the other person in the comedy duo is called. I guess it'd just be, like, the person who's making the jokes and then, you know, the straight man reacting, just being like, but I'm like, or like, not exactly.
I know what you mean.
I don't know. I don't know that much about comedy, honestly. But, yeah. I mean, I was thinking more, again, because I'm a visual thinker. I liked when they stepped out of the shop and Jay is kind of processing everything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a really weird angle on their faces, which I like. I think that kind of further conveys how strange that event was for Jay, even though like he's not reacting over the top. I think using that weird camera angle helps convey that, and I don't know if you noticed a weird camera angle, but I totally did not. Yeah, but I think maybe even subconsciously that plays into the audience being like, oh yeah, that was like super weird.
Yeah. I can see that.
And then I started writing down, okay, bug motif. So I was like, I think it's trying to get confirmed that, like, bugs are, like, a huge theme in this.
Why did it have to be bugs?
Ah, dude, I've seen worse. Like, I was watching Crimson Peak, and this is not even that big of a spoiler, but, like, they do close-ups on bugs, and close-ups of bugs eating other bugs. And I was just like, why is this in this movie? Because Crimson Peak is a gothic horror film.
Yeah.
Why the heck are they, Guillermo del Toro, why are you showing us close-ups of bugs eating other bugs? It's so gross. I got the symbolism later, but, like, it was still disgusting.
I mean, that's a good way to make me horrified, TBH.
Right?
I remember, I think, King Kong the new one had, I think, a scene with bugs.
Oh, those are the 2005 ones, Jack Black?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that movie, I still to remember the bug-related scene. It just turns my stomach, it's so gross.
I've blocked it out. Like, I can't even tell you anything about it, except how horrified I was when I was watching it.
The thing that horrified me the most that sticks with me to this day...
Is it gonna stick with me? Because I don't want to hear it if it is.
I don't think it's that bad, but, like, I think it had these gigantic killer worms that were on, that island that King Kong was on. And, like, the way their mouths were just, like, a circle vortex of teeth. And I was just like, oh, God. And then I was like, wait, is that what real worms look like? Just magnified? Oh, God! Like, that's what my thought process was. I don't know if I've looked it up, but that's just disturbing. So worms scare the crap out of me now. And that's why I would prefer to be cremated over buried. Because the thought of worms eating me is, like, the most unnecessary thought ever. Like, no, thank you. Goodbye.
Well, on that note.
Sorry. I just, like, that's why, I honest to God, that's why I prefer to be cremated. Because I don't need no bugs eating my decomposing body. That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. I'd rather
be burned. That's slightly less gross than rotting away. Anyway. So, bug motifs. That was obviously a thing.
Then
he wipes his memory. And... you know, they're at a weird Chinese restaurant, and he's like, ah, everything is fine. And Will's like, huh? What's happening?
That was pretty good.
No, that was a good transition. I liked it. And then,
it makes me, like, interested in, like, the actual specifics of how the neuralizer works.
Oh, right.
And, like, when do people, like, transition from knowing and not knowing, and
exactly.
I mean, obviously it's not important, and we're, you know, there's never gonna be an answer, probably, assuming that there isn't an answer in the sequels, but, you know,
yeah,
interesting.
And then I just skip all the way to when he gets the card and then shows up at, like, the, I guess, the test.
That was so good.
I liked how he, when he walks into the, like, building, there's just that huge fan and that huge ventilation thing across from it. And I really liked it. That was such a cool...
Me too.
That was a cool set. I don't know if they found that location or if they built that location.
I had this same
either
thought.
Way, it was really cool.
I was really wondering, like, how they chose that and, like, how it came to be. Because it was really... I don't know why it was cool, but it was, like, really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was, like, it wasn't, like, trying too hard to be futuristic or sci-fi or weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just enough.
Just enough.
It was just enough.
But then, you know, Jay goes in and he sees all of these other really legit-looking soldiers. And he's
so he is, like, the red sheep of the family. Calling it now, that should be the title of our show. Or the title of this episode. But he's, like, the one with the red jacket, and everyone, like, the casual 90s get-up with the red jacket, and everyone else is, like, in, like, suit and tie, military insignias, and all that jazz, right? Yeah. So.
And everyone's
I liked how visually he stood out from everyone else, yeah.
But
everyone's super serious, and, like, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he was just like, ah, these jokesters. And it was just so good. It was such a good scene.
Yeah, I feel like part of it can be given to Will Smith as an actor. He just he has this charisma about him that is just
absolutely.
He sells it super well. I can just imagine his character being extremely obnoxious and, like, so annoying, you know. But he's not.
Well, isn't that his character on Fresh Prince? Like, he vacillates between, like, annoying and, like, adorable and, like, likable.
Maybe he has a type. I don't know. But no, but, like, I was looking at some of the other actors considered for his role as Jay, and I don't have it in front of me, but they would not have done that well.
I see.
Let me see if I can find it. You talk.
So he's able to pull it off because of his personality and charisma and things like that, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it was so obviously set up, like, let's make him the likable outsider. But, like, I still enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it was so, like, obvious.
Yeah. And then, you know, just kind of the whole test that's, like, he's the only one able to... I'm going to have to mark that down as something I need to edit out.
What would you say?
I just mumbled, oh. And it came out really strange, so let me change that.
David Schwimmer. But
David Schwimmer. Interesting.
A Friends fame?
I don't even... I never watch Friends. I don't get the, like, obsession with Friends. I really don't.
I mean, I don't really either, but Friends is never something... It's not really in my genre. Like, I don't...
I'll be there for you.
Okay, oh, I don't dislike it. I just... It's not really in my preferred genre, so it's never something that I was going to get, like, super into. But, you know, David Schwimmer is really awkward.
Which character is he? Is he Joey or the other one?
There are Marshall? Three.
No, his name's not... I'm mixing it up with, like...
isn't it Ross?
Oh, sure. I mixed up Friends with How I Met Your Mother for, like, 2 seconds. Whoops.
Whoa. Yeah.
Hey, right. Man. It's Ross. Can I really be blamed for that, though?
I mean, some people would say yes.
Anyway.
Oh, God. I'm going to send you a picture.
Yeah, so...
I'll put it in the show notes, too.
We have, you know, everyone's taken the test, and, like, I think... I immediately foresaw that the paper writing thing was going to be a problem. What I would have done, and I literally did this the other day, I walked over to a wall and started writing, like, with the paper to the wall. But, you know, Will Smith sees the table, and naturally, he goes to drag the table. That was such a good... dragging it, and it's just making the most obnoxious loud noise. That was so... I mean, you knew what was going to happen, but it was still so good.
There's some things that you know are going to happen, but it's so satisfying to watch, you know?
I know. It was so satisfying. It was
so good. I don't know. I just would have used my lap. Like, that would have been sufficient for me. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But
well, clearly the lap wasn't working. Someone was trying to do that, and the paper kept flopping, and the pencil was going through because it was flimsy paper. That was hopefully the test, right? It's like testing your ability to think outside the box and really think critically. So, you know, he drags the table over because he doesn't want to write on the side of his weird little, like, circled sphere chair thing.
Those were pretty cool looking, I will admit.
They were cool looking, but they were also kind of designed to test whether they're going to, like, actually try to write on a flat surface. And then the shooting scene was really good.
The shooting one.
Yeah.
Where he shoots at a girl with a physics book.
Little Tiffany.
Yeah. And, like...
She's a little Tiffany.
I don't know. I just found it really... It was just really good. The whole scene was really well executed.
Yeah. So, here's where my story comes in.
Tell me your story.
So, when I was a child of about 7 years old... I don't know why I said it in that specific grammar syntax, but when I was seven, me and my family, we went to Orlando for summer vacation. Mm-hmm. We went to Disney World.
Yes.
And at the time, so this wasn't too much, like, this was, like, fairly, like, I guess Men in Black was a fairly recent movie.
Yes.
At the time. So, wait a minute. If the movie came out in 97. I was thinking about Legally Blonde, how Legally Blonde came out in 2001. So, yeah, Men in Black came out in 97. And then I was probably in Florida around, if I was seven or so.
2000.
I was probably in Florida around 2000 or 2001. So I was there with my sister and my mom and dad. And we were staying at this, like, well, it doesn't really matter where we're staying, but just the background. We were staying at this, like, crappy, scary motel or whatever. And I could talk about that for a little bit, but let's not. So... There was a couple of rides that we had went on. One of them was a shooter ride, like a shooting ride that was Men in Black themed. So it was exactly, I think, not exactly, but it was supposed to kind of mimic that scene of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're shooting at fake aliens that pop up as it's like a shooting sim, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting on, like, what feels like the longest line ever to get on this shooting ride thing, and I end up freaking out because not in the ride before, because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh heck no, I am not, because I was scared of the dark, and I still am kind of scared of the dark. I'm not a fan of not being able to see, so
that makes sense.
Like, the thought of going into a scary, dark ride where pop-up aliens that are gross-looking are going to attack. I mean, I understand they're fake and you're shooting them with, like, laser guns and it's not real. But, like, I was not going to go through with that. I was like, F no. I'm going to stay with Dad and not go on the ride. My sister and my mom can go in there and have fun. So they did. They did the ride. And I was like, bye. Not ever doing this.
Bye, Felicia.
I think the aliens that grossed me out the most were probably the ones that we saw in the movie that were, like giggling and, like, pouring coffee and, like, they had all those cigarettes and stuff. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I think those freaked me out the most. And I saw a ton of them, like, on the little display outside the ride. And I was like, nope. So I was like, goodbye, I'm not doing this. And that's literally the story. But I remember, I think those little alien guys were a bigger part of the second Men in Black movie, I want to say. I also think that the pug, the alien that's, like, in the pug body, has a bigger role in, like, Men in Black 2 or 3 or something. Because I believe when I went to Florida, by that time, there had been at least a second Men in Black film.
Mm.
And I had seen bits and pieces of that as well. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I've never seen the second one or the third
but
one.
But yeah.
So.
I'm not a fan of, like, those creepy, skinny, yellowish, gross, bug-ish looking aliens that we saw. I mean, they're pretty harmless when I watched it yesterday. But, like, as a child, I was like, wow, they're disgusting looking. No.
You mean the ones...
But that was my experience. I mean, I had a lot more fun doing other stuff in Orlando and doing other stuff at Disney World, but
isn't
I just remember...
Universal?
Yeah, it might have been. I think we might have, I think they're next to each other, right? So I think it might have been, like, a combined day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we had gone on the Men in Black ride. There was also, like, a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids ride, which was really weird and interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some theme rides work and some don't. I think the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids one probably didn't work as well as it could have. But yeah, that was my Orlando experience. Sorry, somehow I remember it being more exciting than that. But I think what I'm thinking back to was all the other stories I had during that trip were a lot more exciting than the one I just told. So I'm sorry, guys. It's a little weird. Men in Black, I still remember that. I remember, so when I was watching the scene yesterday night, I was like, oh, so that's where they got the idea for the ride, from the scene.
Because
I didn't have any context for it when I was a kid, right? I just was like, okay, it's like a alien shooting game, whatever. But I did like the fact that, like, he was like little Tiffany with her quantum physics textbooks about to start some stuff, you know?
Because,
like, that's totally true. Like, what kind of 8-year-old is wandering around the ghetto with, like, a quantum physics textbook? Like, that's suspect.
You don't know her life.
Well.
You don't know her choices.
I don't think running around the ghetto with a quantum physics textbook is a good choice, no matter whether she had nefarious intent or not. Anyway. That's what I had to say about the whole, like, the test simulation. I know they say, like, oh, he has a real problem with authority, which I think is, like, hilarious. And also, like, how many times have we seen... Well, first of all, realistically, if you're a cop and you're good at what you do, if you have a problem with authority, I'm pretty sure you know how to hide that. Because, like, isn't seniority and all the rest kind of a big thing when you're working as a police officer? But whatever. I mean, also, I was kind of rolling my eyes because haven't we all seen this trope before where it's like the cop with the authority problem? Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, he has a real problem with authority. Okay, Rip Torn. Okay. Your name is Rip Torn. Like, I have nothing further to say to you, sir.
I mean, I think one of the reasons this movie really worked is that it knew how heavily to rely on the tropes that we were familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think each of the characters brought something fresh enough that it didn't feel like we were just reworking characters I'd already seen. But
you consider Kay to be fresh?
No, I mean, but I was about to say that it relies on tropes, yes, but it doesn't do it heavily enough that I would be tired of it, I guess.
Okay, I see what you mean.
They don't...
It wasn't, like, independence level days of...
Well,
like...
I guess maybe even a better way to describe it is that it didn't rely on the tropes. It was just like, here they are, and now we can get to our story, which I think is the best way to treat, like, when you approach a story which has a lot of plot or has, like, you know, creating a new world, like, a way, or a new way to interpret our world. You know, it can be nice to go in with a familiar set of characters. They weren't, but you know, each of the actors brought something new to it that I didn't just feel like. Like, for example, the movie that I started watching, I was just saying about Seventh Son. It was extremely painful because every character was just their trope, essentially. It was so bad. Like, it wasn't even, like, a movie where you could, like, hate watch it and enjoy it. It was just a bad movie that there's no pleasure to be found. Sadness.
And that's why you quit on it after 41 minutes.
Yeah. But, you know, this one, it kept exciting me with, you know, whether that's talking about the aliens or talking about the way that the organization makes its money, which was hilarious.
Oh yeah, Velcro and stuff. Yeah,
I wrote down the exact thing. It was that they got patents from alien technology, Velcro, microwave ovens, and liposuction. And the tiny CDs. Do you remember the tiny CDs?
The little CDs.
Like that, those are...
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of GameCube, because GameCubes had mini CDs too.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't have a GameCube.
They weren't quite that small, but there were mini CDs. And now we have flash drives and SD cards.
No, but I was just like, I wrote down, like, the 90s were so quaint. Like, that was what they thought. Like, the CDs were, you know, as big as the CD, the and they were going to get... To, like, you know, the size of a donut hole.
That's kind of what happened, right? We got mini CDs.
Yeah, and but then the they mini CD into... can hold, like, a bajillion times more than a CD could.
Yeah. Another 90s thing I noticed, smoking in the building.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot.
Rest in peace. Or rather, like, yay, everyone's, like, less likely to die of secondhand smoke.
So true. You also got some Twin Towers in the background at a whole few different points. Oh,
see, I don't know why I never noticed that stuff, but...
Oh, I noticed that immediately. Just there's a few shots of it throughout the film, and I'm just like, you know, but...
It's weird, too, because I am a New Yorker, so I guess I was just, like, I don't know why, it's, like, it doesn't, like, what I was, like, 8 when it happened, so, yeah. Like, it just never, I just never, the, like, New York skyline, I just didn't know what that looked like, like, with it. In the skyline, so like I guess I don't notice it when it's there, when it's not. But I don't know. Providence has a very interesting skyline. There's one building that's like I mean, I'm gonna draw a shape in front of Melissa that you guys can't see, but it's kind of almost like a staircase, kind of like it's like a building. Let me try to see if I can describe it through the power of word.
You can do it, Maggie. I believe in you.
Drawing it with my finger is way easier, but it's basically like if you took two staircases that were going up and jammed them together. That's kind of what you'd get. So let me draw this for Melissa. It kind of looks like this.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so that's a very prominent part of the skyline, which is, like, stands out to me. But, like, two taller buildings wouldn't necessarily... I mean, I know they should, but, like, for some reason, it just doesn't register.
I'm sorry, I'm still... You were,
I'm not trying to be
that
insensitive.
You were talking about
just...
two staircases that were going up. I'm like, do they also go down?
How would you describe this shape, then, Melissa? How would you describe that shape?
I don't know, but...
Exactly. I guess another way to say it would be a small box on top of a small box on top of a medium box on top of a bigger box, but that's even more confusing than the staircase analogy, I think.
I don't know. Like a rectangular snowman.
That could also be a good episode title, Rectangular Snowman. We've gone full circle, people. Or should I say full square? I don't even know. We're such squares.
We're going such full circle now.
Anyway, back to this. So, yeah.
We have the test. Any more to say about the test?
good comedy gold moment when he's like, gentlemen, please look into this thing for the eye exam. And then, pshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good test.
I like how I think Kay was smart to mention the alien thing, be prepared for like denial of it, and then kind of promptly swing the door open to show that actually, let me prove it to you that they're real.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was like, good job, Kay, good job.
Coffee aliens are best aliens.
Those are the ugliest ones to me. That's
they were
those are the
hilarious.
Ones I was scared of when I was a kid. They were funny, but they're like so ugly, dude.
They were my favorite.
And
I
really
like
Kay's...
even justify that with a response.
Oh no, I just was moving on to my next point.
Yeah.
But I mean,
tell me about your next
my next
point.
Point was I liked, and again, especially pertinent for this era, people are dumb, right? The whole
yeah,
a person is smart, yeah, but people are dumb. And, like, meaning that people as a group are dumb, which I was like...
Very
I think
true.
We were all feeling that last week, y'all.
Oh, Maggie.
We'll be feeling that for the next, like, 4 years. Ugh.
Anyway. You know what drove me crazy in that scene?
What?
They were talking about how, like, you know, certain facts have been, you know, known throughout history, but then later on they've been proven false, you know?
Right.
And one of the things that Kay says is about how 500 years ago everyone knew that the earth was flat. Like, oh my god, how many times do we have to freaking go over this? People figured out that the earth was round like over 2,000 years ago. Sure, not everybody knew that 500 years ago, but they literally figured it out in ancient times based on the
right.
shadows in Egypt. So can we just like retire this myth forever?
Yeah, I think it was more supposed to be getting to the point of what he was saying rather than like actually factually true, but I see what you mean.
You know,
as a little history nerd.
People talk about that
yeah.
all the time. Like
yeah.
Like we just figured out that the earth was round.
No, only white people figured that out recently.
That was in ancient Greece too. Or ancient Greeks are white, sort of. Anyway. It's just that's something that drives me crazy. That particular fact. But
yeah,
I like what
yeah.
he was getting at, that the idea that, you know, what we know is not necessarily what we really know.
Mm.
But...
And I like this point that, like, you know, sometimes, like, on our own, sometimes we're pretty intelligent and smart, but sometimes when you get into groups, like, mob mentality can become a thing, and kind of, like, dumbing down is, like, totally a thing.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, for sure. So one of my biggest problems with this movie is I don't understand why James Edward, I don't understand why James Edward chose to give up his old life for this new life. Literally all we get is a montage of him sitting on a bench looking at the Hudson River for 10 hours and then suddenly he decides he's gonna do it. That is not enough for me. That's when you were saying before how like we don't know anything about his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like that bothers me. I don't understand why he chose to do this. I need something to either push him towards it or I don't know, man. Like that was too flimsy for me. Just him saying like, okay, I'll do it. Like after thinking about it for 10 hours. Like that's
mm-hmm.
not enough for me.
You know what would I... in my eyes would have been good, like after thinking about it, he would go back to an apartment which was empty, there's no signs of like, you know, anyone else or having photos of anyone. He has a very lonely existence, doesn't know anybody, and we kind of get that feeling that he doesn't have any connections because he doesn't have to break off anything with anyone.
We don't get any of that. Nothing confirms or denies that.
That would have worked, I think, best for me. Because he doesn't really have anything to give up. So that's where I was coming from, why he chose it.
You can make that up in your head. But we never saw that in the movie. And that's what I wanted something like that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wanted a moment like that where we see this is why he's decided to leave. Because I don't think the allure of it is enough. I don't think saying, the only way to remember that this has happened or that aliens exist is you have to join this organ. Like, that doesn't work for me. What works for me is something like what you're saying. Like, maybe he goes home, there's no one there, he doesn't have connections anymore. Like, that would make sense to me. Instead, the freaking bench montage, man, that was such BS to me. I can't with that. So, yeah, like, I'm just thinking back to, because I've been thinking about it a lot recently, especially since, Guy Fawkes Night was a couple weeks ago. Like, think back to when we talked about Attack the Block, right? Like, we see a looming shot of Moses's door, and he's the only one who doesn't enter, and we don't see his inside of his house, right? And so we know something is up with that kid. And then later on, when we see his apartment, like, the whole puzzle falls into place, right? So I'm just like, I needed that kind of moment, and we just never got it. And I understand this is, like, a lighthearted summer blockbuster. It's, like, not supposed to get super deep or anything, but, like, it was just too flimsy, and I needed something for character development, you know?
I see that.
Yeah. So that bothered me. That was really the biggest thing that bothered me. Other than that, like, I really liked the film. And there was, like, I have a couple of minor quibbles with stuff, but, like, that was, like, the biggest problem for me is, like, I didn't understand why he chose to give up his old life, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been nice to kind of see what he was giving up, yeah. Because, I mean, although a lot of films, mostly films, do this, not TV shows as much, but, you know, we don't get a sense of who are his parents? Does he have siblings? Does he have friends? Does he like the people he works with? You know?
Yeah.
And I understand why in a lot of movies you don't get that sense of familial place. You get like a...
You just throw in like one little hint or one little thing, man. Like, it didn't have to be a long drawn out scene.
Yeah.
I just need something. Like, again, we don't know anything about his life outside of like anything before he starts chasing that guy. Like,
I mean, I think we're nothing. Supposed to assume that he doesn't have one, but yeah, they never
see. But he seems too charismatic to be a like a loner type. Like, I'm not getting that read from his personality either. He seems to be a pretty, he seems to be a pretty extroverted guy. So like, I don't buy. Maybe if they played it more like he was like a loner or like a weirdo or something. Like, but they don't play it off that way, and so I don't even buy it in his personality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he would naturally be a loner because that doesn't seem to be him.
Yeah.
So it's just too flimsy for me. Something, thinking about something, family or I don't know, something would have worked. I think, and maybe this is a style thing, maybe this is a 90s thing, I don't really know what it was, but I was like, the blacks in this movie need to be more black, and by that I mean like the color grading. Like, maybe this is a 90s thing, but all the colors seem very shallow, whereas I feel like nowadays cinema is very, it's a lot more high contrast than like older films in terms of like colors, because like ideally when you're shooting film you want the black to be like a very dark black. It's referred to as crushed blacks,
like my soul,
like your soul. I kind of mentioned this in our Attack the Block episodes, but yeah, like the blacks weren't very black. So I was like, the colors, maybe the color palette is like throwing me off, and that's why I think it looks kind of weird. Maybe that's why I thought that the farm scene was weird, because it was a very light-colored sky or something. Anyway, I don't know why they left the... I keep, like, kind of fast-forwarding through scenes, so, like, please stop me if you want, and if you want to go back to an older scene, let me know. But
look at that.
Why in God's name did they let the cat into the morgue? That makes absolutely no sense.
That is skipping ahead. But, I have no idea... Because everyone,
I mean, for plot, cats. But other than that,
cats are awesome. Actually, when I was watching this film, I was watching on my computer, and I had my cat. I was watching at my kitchen table, and then my cat started meowing. So that meant he wants me to come into the living room so he can sit on my lap. And so I brought my computer in, and he curled up on my lap.
Because you're whim to your cat's desires.
Yeah, I know what his cries mean. So he is, he jumps up onto my lap and he curls up. And
couldn't he have gone to you? Just saying.
Huh?
Couldn't your cat have gone to you instead of you going to your cat?
No, because it's more comfortable on the couch than on, like, he won't sit on my lap at a kitchen table because it's just, like, a hard chair. And there's less room. So I had to go to him. And he's the king. His name is Prince, but he is the king. But so I was watching the point of all of this is that I was watching all of these cat scenes, and the cat's really cute, and my cat is right on my lap, he's purring, and he's you know, throwing his face into my hand so I can properly pet him. I love cats.
They're so cute, but now I'm allergic to them, so now I'm sad.
That is sad.
I think I'm more of a cat person than a dog person, but I mean, I don't know.
I'm a both like, person.
Like, I'm allergic to cats, so that's not good.
That stinks. What did you think about the scene where Mr. Bug Dude goes in and kills the two aliens disguised as humans? And the other human, right?
That was pretty extra, if I do say so myself.
Extra is a good word.
Yeah.
Extraterrestrial.
I don't know. His killing spree was a little weird. I liked how the corpse kept turning grosser and grosser as time went on.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was a nice measure of time, yeah.
Yeah. I thought the Hick outfit was a little bit ridiculous because, I mean, we both have lived in upstate New York. People don't actually dress like that.
Well, we also lived in a much more populated area of upstate New York.
But no one actually wears over. Well, it was the 90s, right? So never mind. I take it back.
And, I mean, I remember driving up to school, and there was a section of road where there would literally be mailboxes on the highway.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, we are really in Hicksville, but not, like, actually Hicksville, New York, but just...
Well, Hicksville is actually in Long Island.
I know. It was
confusingly enough. There is a place called Hicksville in Long Island.
I know. I was just referencing that.
Oh, I thought you were just pulling a random name from your brain or something.
I mean, it is Hicksville, but, yeah. But not actual Hicksville. Anyway.
So, when the two aliens are speaking, and then he comes by and just kind of kills them, and I was like, well, that was easy. Yeah. What the heck?
No, it was pretty easy. You know, I think one of the grosser moments in the film, besides the bug thing, because the bug thing is always the grossest, is actually he killed the human and he just stuck him into the
sink.
Yeah, and that was kind of nasty.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing.
It was like casually nasty, like they didn't linger on it. It was just like something that happened. But
I thought that was well done, you know, to do it that way.
It was just so matter of fact, like, whatever.
Yeah. Super gross. I still can't believe that was Vincent Onofrio or whatever, or is it D'Onofrio? I just thought he plays that Law and Order detective, and he was the guy who was whose skin was stolen by the alien, the abusive farmer dude.
Yeah. Abusive farmer dude. That's a nice summer.
I have quite a way with words myself. But yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, the scene, it happened, the story moved along.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I love how the guy was trying to stop him from leaving the premises and he just shoves him away like nothing. You know what I don't understand? How did the alien fit inside that skin? The alien's so much bigger.
That was a consistent question I had throughout the movie. Like, the sizes so much bigger. Don't seem
mass to... doesn't just disappear.
It doesn't merely make sense.
No, not at all.
But, like, I don't know. It happened.
It doesn't really matter, but, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
I like the look that Jay gives Kay anytime Kay gives him a new name. Like, Mr. Black, Mr. White. And he just gives him... He just shoots him a look. And I don't know if you noticed it.
I did.
But it was pretty funny. Will Smith is so good at comedy, man. Subtle. He can do subtle. It's a shame. I don't think he does as much comedy anymore, right? Because he didn't want to be typecast.
Probably.
So, like, he does all these drama roles now, but... And he's good in the drama roles, too,
he
but,
is,
like...
But,
like, the dude got to start in comedy, you know what I mean? Like, or at least playing that kind of comedic character.
Yeah.
So...
That's what he's really good at. He's really good at those reaction shots and... Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked how they continually kept making up, you know, like, their stories and who they were. And I feel like, I don't know if they got more absurd, but it was just, they kind of got more absurd. And even though, like, yeah, they had to erase some memories along the way, I feel like their names were almost, like, beside the point. Like, it was like, if I say something with enough authority in a soup, someone was going to believe me. Which is actually kind of true, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah. It reminds me, I remember in high school I read The Bell Jar. I didn't like it when I read it, and I probably wouldn't like it if I read it now, but there's like a scene in The Bell Jar where the main character talks about, like there was this, she was watching this poet eat a salad with his hand, but like it was just super weird, right? But he just did it like it was like perfectly normal and was such like, you know, like authority, and like when you like kind of, when you kind of like act like you know what you're doing and it's fine, like people just go like, oh yeah, they know what they're doing, it's fine, even though it's totally weird in any other context, right? Because like if you have enough confidence when you're carrying something out, like people are like, that's normal, I guess. Right? So like
it's almost, it's like the Catch Me If You Can guy. Do you have familiarity with that?
I know that's a movie.
It's a movie. It's also a musical, both based on a true story of a guy.
Oh, a true story?
Yeah, who basically was like, I'm going to be a lawyer now. I'm going to be a doctor now, without any qualifications. And everyone just kind of let him because
a little he disturbing.
Carried his, you know, he carried himself like a boss, you know?
Yeah.
People have done that throughout history. There have been scams throughout history.
Sure, but when people do that as a doctor, that's kind of disturbing because I don't want people to die or me to die because that's a little frightening.
Death is frightening, yes.
Yes, death is quite frightening. And again, I keep skipping through the movie because I just kind of wrote down more poignant scenes for me, but like when Kay is looking at that video feed of a past love.
I
just wrote down, Kay is human. That's the moment we get, right? Like, that's the moment where we, like, the mask slips a little.
Yeah.
And we see, like, he's a person.
But it's also...
Did you have anything you wanted to mention before?
Well, that in that scene, it was the, also the reminder of, you know, what these people gave up. You know?
But that's the thing. Freaking Kay got more of that than Jay did. And that's what bothered... Because, like, they clearly made an effort to do that for Kay because, to like, you know, so they had the happy ending for him.
Right.
But they didn't do it for Jay.
Well, I think maybe part of the reason is that the movie ends with Jay still in this organization. And so if they had given him a sister or a mother, it makes it kind of a bittersweet ending. But they should have just been like, yeah, I don't have anybody. Then we solve the problem.
But yeah, they just didn't even say that. They just left it up in the air. And I was like, come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, we also get the phrase, the galaxy is on Orion's belt.
Orion's belt?
Oh, yeah. I misread that.
Lol.
L-O-L.
But yeah, I mean, okay, was it a little bit cheesy that the alien died at the exact, like, right after they start to, like, come on.
That's how come it is, man.
On. You're telling me he, whatever. I guess they don't want, they won't, they don't, they're not going to reveal their presence to someone who's not a, like a, like a, like a man in black, but like still, come on.
Yeah.
The moment I was at Alien and I saw a person in like a, well, I don't know. It was just too much. I was like, come on. He just died right before he could finish a sentence. That's so stupid. Come on. But yeah, the Orion's belt thing, and I was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Did you figure that out?
Unfortunately, I had seen the ending a while back, and I did remember the ending. Especially since I read this, book. I want to say it was by Michio Kaku, and I think I want to say I read it for science class, and he talked about the whole concept of a galaxy within a, like a marble or bubble, like Men in Black. So like, I remember that being a thing. But I don't know if I put two and two together until, like, until we saw, like, the swirly little galaxy in the, in the, in the collar or whatever. But I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. I didn't put it together at all.
Until, I didn't put it together until...
Well, until they until we told got, us, essentially.
Yeah, the reveal. Because, like, it's so... shall I say nebulous? I feel like it's, like, too...
No, no, say
we're,
it.
We're on fire today with the puns, man. Anyway... Yeah, I didn't figure it out. But I remember the ending because I had seen it before.
Yeah.
You know me. I always, like, happen to catch the endings of film for, like, no reason whatsoever. It's really bad.
So.
Did I tell you I saw, like, I saw the ending of a drama that I had just started? Or, like, it was, like, the penultimate episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, so it's totally unimportant. You were saying...
No, just gonna move on to Frank the Pug.
Guys, Melissa just put a toothbrush in her teeth and pulled it out like it was a cigarette.
Okay, first off, it is not a toothbrush.
Sorry, I meant to say paintbrush. When my brain doesn't work when I haven't gotten enough sleep, I start mixing up words. She had a paintbrush in her teeth, and she pulled it out like it was a cigarette.
I don't smoke. It was really funny. I just... It makes me feel cool. Do you ever do that in, like, elementary school with, like, a pretzel? Be like, I'm super cool, guys.
I don't think so.
Oh, that was... They used to sell these, like, you know, like, probably foot long, maybe a little shorter, like, pretzel rods. In my cafeteria, and everyone did it. If you didn't do it, you weren't cool, you know.
Oh, I mean, I used to eat those like all the time because like Costco used to sell them, and Mom would buy them in, like in bulk. So like I would eat them all the time. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We have to eat it. Like the Bachmann brand, it, like, right? A cigarette, and like you're taking like you know whiffs of.
How do you
smoke.
Eat something like a cigarette? You don't eat cigarettes.
Well, no, you just you treat it like a cigarette in your hand, and then casually take some bites.
You guys are so weird. I would just eat them like pretzels, like a normal person.
That's not normal. Everyone eats them like cigarettes, okay?
Whatever. I used to eat those, you know those Snyder of Hanover honey mustard pretzels?
No.
Really? Like, they're the pretzels that have, like, there's a little bit, the little section that's, like not baked, it's not, it's like a white section, but it's, like, covered in, like, honey mustard.
No.
No idea what I'm talking about. I used to eat those the weirdest way. And I remember my teacher gave me a very judgmental look one time when I was eating them. Like, because I would just basically, like, lick at the honey mustard and then, like, lick the whole thing. And she was just, like, looking at me like, what the heck is this kid doing? So after that, I stopped eating them weird. Oh. But
okay, here's the shame. Question. Are you someone who licks the cupcake frosting first?
You don't know this about me?
I definitely...
You would totally fail at the roommate
No,
game.
I definitely did at some point, but it's been too long.
We had this discussion before
about... I can't remember.
I remember because you saw me, you saw how I ate the cupcake, and then you commented on how I ate the cupcake, and then I was like, well, that's just my way, and that makes more sense to me.
Wait, you...
So I know you have told me that you eat cupcakes, like, you eat the frosting and the cake together.
Yes, like a person supposed to.
No, dude, because if you do that, the frosting gets all over your face, and it's disgusting.
No, you don't want to eat
so
the,
what I do,
don't
even
eat the frosting first.
Yes, I eat and lick all the frosting
no.
first, and then I eat the cake.
No,
even
the
though
two
I understand,
are supposed to go
listen,
together.
Listen, I understand. Of course it would taste better if you ate it in one bite altogether.
Yes, it's a little messy.
Of course
but
that
fine.
Makes more sense. But it gets all over your mouth. And I don't like that.
Okay, well, that's your problem. Have you seen, like...
No! Because I'm not going to, like, frosting get smeared all over my mouth. And we went, like, this is totally on a tangent. But so I lick all the frosting off first. And then I peel the wrapper and I eat the cake part.
Okay. Have you seen all the, like, the hack online? Which is, like, you cut off the bottom part of the cupcake of the cake.
To make, like, a little cupcake sandwich?
Yeah.
That's like way too complicated. I could just lick the frosting off and eat the freaking cake.
But you have to eat them together.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do, woman.
This is a free country, okay?
No, not for long.
Next, like, month or two.
Not for long.
I'm tempted to go ask my current roommate what he thinks of the cupcake situation, but I'll do that later.
It's the great debate.
But yeah. Anyway, let's get back to
Frank
our
the
actual
pug.
Topic. So I don't know if you how far you want to skip ahead, but I said New York City towing jokes, haha.
Yeah,
because predatory towing is such a thing, where they people just tow your car just to get money.
Yeah,
but yeah, towing. That's really it. I have like a couple more notes. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at?
Because you were talking about like towing, so I was like, oh, so what's the other thing?
Yo, you're disgusting. Do I have to bleep this out of the
episode? That's why I didn't want to say it.
Oh my god.
You made me.
Anyway. Wait, I didn't write down the time code. Oh,
for that?
Okay, I'll write down the time code right now.
It was like 48
something.
30,
something.
I think, or something like that.
48. 50 something.
No, it was like 30. Or for me.
Oh, well, then we're definitely way off the mark.
Well, but what is
will.
It for you right now?
Right now, I'm at 49.07 or 08.
I'm at 49.14.
There's always, like, a weird delay when we... So, I'll just... Yeah, we'll figure out what it... Well, we'll figure it out later. Anyway,
I didn't want to say it.
You didn't have to say it.
You made me.
No, I didn't. I didn't make you do anything.
You pressured me. I felt uncomfortable. No, I didn't.
Okay. So, I wrote down, I like the locksmith's look. So, you know how we meet the pug alien? Yes. And the human sitting next to him looks almost like...
Alien.
Like he stepped out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show or something. Yeah. Like, I liked his look. I thought it was, like, really funny and interesting. I don't know if it was supposed to be a throwback or a reference to something, but, like, it was funny.
It was, like, alien chic. I don't know.
Alien chic.
Yeah, I liked him, too. I wanted him to be a bigger character.
Yeah, he seemed like a cool dude, like, I want to get to know or something. Well, not want to get to know, yeah, but, like, he seemed like an interesting person.
Yeah. I got you.
I did not understand why the alien threw the cab seat out of the cab. I mean, besides plot reasons.
You know, I had the same question, because, like, it didn't make any sense.
Like, I understood where it was going, because Will Smith saw it and was like, oh yeah, that's from a cab. And I was like, yes, I think I understand that part, but I don't understand why he tore the seat out. Like, that's stupid. He could have just, like, there was no point.
Yeah, it was just for convenience.
It's only just to give Will Smith some breadcrumbs to know where to go, right? Like, basically. But that's really it.
You know what we haven't talked about yet, essentially, is Laurel.
I was saving her for the end, but yes, I have comments about her, too. Shake my head.
Why?
Because, I don't know. I think her character was kind of like,
a missed opportunity.
The word I'm thinking about is too strong, so I'm trying to come up with a less severe word, but I think she was, like, kind of eye candy for the most part. Mm. And, I have some issues with how they handled her character at the end of the movie. So, like, my big thing was, Will Smith decides, without asking Laurel, like, oh, she can totally become an agent and never ask her opinion for whether she wants to be an agent or not, or, you know what I mean? Like, he just makes that choice for her and is like, well, yeah, like, she saved the day, so, like, she should totally work for us now and blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, like, you didn't even ask her. You just kind of made this a thing, you know what I mean?
I can see why you would have a problem with that.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean that, like, a general person. I don't mean, like, you, Maggie. I mean you as a collective. Sorry, that you came as a out collective. Wrong. But I can understand why.
I'm even more confused now.
I can understand why someone would have a problem with that. And I kind of felt that way when I was watching, too. You know, I'm assuming that there is a moment in this. Not, you know, we don't see it, but there's a moment.
That's in what I mean.
Story.
I don't like that. It's like you, like we've talked about in the past. If it's not in the cut, if it's not in the film, didn't happen, or the audience doesn't know about it, so it's not relevant. Like, they need to show something that would show that she would be interested in this life or something. You know what I mean?
She
something.
Doesn't really have agency. She's.
That's what bothers me. Like, if she just kind of, it's, you know, things are happening to her.
Yeah,
right? It's
I not like her, she's not. The way I described it as, like, it was a missed opportunity, I think. Like, she continually had her life, like, woven into this story. And, yeah, it worked well enough, like, whatever. But, like, she could have been better, and she could have...
Yeah.
It could have been handled more smoothly. I don't know if she necessarily needed more screen time, because it really...
Yeah, that wasn't the problem.
It was... She got a decent amount of screen time, and it wasn't really fundamentally her story, you know... It was more
Jay's and K's
story,
K's.
I think. But
yeah,
I think, yeah, the quality of her screen time could have been a lot better.
You know, I'm looking at my keyboard, and I notice JK and L are all next to each other.
They're also next to each other in the alphabet, but that's true, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, like, it's like I wonder if they did it on purpose, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can see.
JK and Laurel. Anyway, but... Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like how she didn't have agency. I mean, the only thing she did, time she did something was, like, when she, I don't, I mean, I first was, like, rolling my eyes when I saw that she was working as a mortician and had, like, the shortest dress on, and I was like, really, y'all? But, I mean, whatever.
There's no one there to judge her.
Yeah, and I know she has her line, but, like, oh, anytime a woman says anything sexually, blah, 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 like, okay, whatever, girl. But my thing was, like,
90s feminist.
I don't know, like, the flirting was, like, a little bit much to me. I, like, at least the first time. I understand the second time was supposed to be played for... I know it's supposed to be played for laughs, but, like, it wasn't that funny, honestly. Like, I don't know. It could have been funnier. And I was just like, I don't know, I was just like, okay, flirting is fine, but like, you're doing too much, lady. Like, chill. I don't know. It was just weird.
Part of me does wonder if like a more charismatic actress had played her, if I would
still it up, yeah.
be having the same problems.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I mean, she was just okay.
Well, the movie doesn't pass the Bechdel test because there's only one woman in it.
Very true.
Or, I mean, there's technically two. There's the farmer's wife, but again, they only talk to the men in black. So
sometimes I forget that's a thing.
Right?
I mean, that's really sad, but sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Life, man.
So, yeah, that's my big problem with Laurel. I mean, other than that, I mean, she's fine. Like, she works as a mortician, and she clearly... I mean, she has more of a... Again, everyone has more of a motivation than freaking Jay does. She says, I hate people. Right?
Same.
She says, like, that's like her... So, like, she says that, like... so, like, we get that, like, she would necessarily, like, hate living an anonymous life. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
even
yeah,
she got a slight thing. We don't get any of that for Jay.
Well, maybe people were thinking about it that way. And it's like, yeah, Jay is...
Who's people?
You know, the people creating the film.
Yeah.
That it doesn't make sense. That a person like him would have friends and family. Well, not family. You don't... It would have friends.
So then what justifies...
Well, the movie doesn't make sense otherwise, Maggie. So sometimes you just have to live and deal with it, okay? Life's hard.
It bothers me, okay? Listen, normally I don't go off on the story tangent of things, but, like, it bothers me because I'm just like, I still don't understand why he's okay. So you're telling me that someone who has a problem with authority is just going to blindly become a man in black who is an authority figure... like who belongs
That's
to
true.
This anonymous secret, like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't gel. It doesn't jive with anything about his personality.
That's true.
If anything, he's the kind of person who wants to stand out, you know, but like, whatever. Ugh. But I do like this film overall. That's just like the one thing about it that bugs me. It's like, but you're so weird, dude. So guys, she just picked up a prescription bottle with a freaking scissor.
I forget that you can see me.
Oh my god, so weird.
Still, I'm just fidgeting all over the place. Look at this. Look how incredible I am.
Dude, I'm so sure like the microphone is picking all of that up.
But
especially when you dropped it, and I'm not editing this sound.
Aren't
stuff.
You impressed?
No, I'm not. Anyway. Yeah, let's see. I wrote, okay, so, I don't know if you have anything more about Laurel.
No.
Do you?
Not really.
Okay,
she's
so
there.
My
she
next happened. Comment was, Men in Black promoting seatbelt safety. Because this is the part where they're in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And they go upside down in the tunnel.
That was a great
First
scene.
Of all, that was a great scene.
Great music.
Great music. A hilarious moment from Kay where he, like, lets loose in his, like, himself.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so good. And, fourth or fifth, I remember that scene. Mm-hmm. I was one of, again, I was telling you there's like a few parts of the movie that I remember from when I was a kid. I remember the scene when they're upside down in the tunnel for sure. I also think either people have ripped off of that or they ripped that off other people, because I've definitely seen that in other, didn't Batman do that or Spider-Man or something? Didn't they have the Batmobile going upside down in the tunnel as well? Or was Men in Black the first one to do that?
I really couldn't say.
But yeah, I mean, I know I've seen it before, and I was like, hey, good trick.
Hey.
Also, another 90s element was the good old quarter toss in the toll booth. That really took me back. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah.
When you're taking the toll bridge to go in and out of a city, you have to pay a toll, and back in the day, they didn't have no Easy Pass or anything, so you'd have to throw quarters into a little... like,
yeah.
change collection
you know, I
thing.
I saw one of those pretty recently.
The last time I saw one, or I was in a car where someone had to pay with quarters, was, I think, I want to say 2012 or 2013.
No, I literally saw one, like, a few months ago.
Where?
In Florida.
Oh, Florida. Yeah, I remember I was going to the beach in Jersey, And I can't remember if we were going in or out, but we had to do the quarter toss thing. And I was like, wow, this really takes me. Because, like, yeah, back when, like, I was a kid and sometimes we would travel or go on vacation or, like, there'd be a lot. Or I think even to go back, go into New York City, because I'm, like, from a suburb of New York City. I think to go back into, to go into New York City, you'd have to, like, throw quarters into the little bucket thing. So, yeah, like, I just seeing that, it had been such a long time. So seeing that was just, like, an instant, like, nostalgia jolt to the heart. You know what I mean? Because it was just like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, the quarter toss. Good thing we have Easy Pass now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I thought the CGI when, I think when they shoot the ship down.
Mm.
Again, I'm skipping way far ahead, but this is my, like, basically my last note that I wrote down in my book. When they're shooting at the alien ship. And it falls and crashes in front of them. The CGI was so bad.
Yeah.
But speaking of, I have another story. So, it's going to be short. But, the ship that the bug alien is trying to get on to escape?
Yeah.
You know how they say that it's in Queens or whatever?
Yeah.
So, I saw those structures for the first time, in the summer of 2015. Because
mm-hmm.
I think it was there was an anniversary for the World Fair coming up.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go. So me, my sister, and one of our friends, you know him, Alan, we drove down to Queens. I drove them down to Queens. And we were just, like, in that park for the day, enjoying, like, the festivities. And yeah, I looked at those structures and I was like, wow, those are like some, that's like really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of some really weird looking, like, yeah. Structures. So yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I know what that is. But like a couple years ago, I would not have known what those were. You know, another thing I was thinking about was, why did Laurel drive him to the structure? She could have faked him out, you know what I mean?
I had the same question.
But, you know, maybe she didn't think it through that much. And maybe she thought, oh, he'll, like, eventually kill me or stop me or something or notice something's up. So maybe that's why she drove him straight to there. But, like, I was like, girl, you could have stalled a little bit,
maybe,
you know?
Maybe she did.
Yeah, and, like, the whole BS with, like, he, like, throws her off the... When he's climbing the ladder, he throws her off and she falls into a tree. Like, come on, guys. That was stupid. Also, the frick... Again with the fan service, man, with, like, the skirts, like, basically, like... flying up her legs, like, okay, guys, let's chill for a little bit.
Yeah. I found it really clever, though, the location that they used, because, like, they mentioned it earlier in the movie about those particular structures, and then it was such a nice callback to be like, oh, we're actually going to be referencing it, and that's going to be the main...
No, the film was pretty concise in was pretty good. It didn't have too much, like, extra stuff, which I always appreciate.
You know, when they were in that moment, and, you know, it was counting down, they had to figure out where they were, and Will Smith was staring at something. I actually thought he was going to be staring at the thing that he accidentally set off earlier. Do you remember? I mean, I didn't know how that was going to save the day or anything. I thought that's what the callback was going to be.
Right.
So, like, you could
see
the dawning, like, understanding in his eyes. And you knew it had to be something that had been referenced before. And I'm like, what are you understanding that's going to reshape the entire film and, you know, inform the climax? But I predicted wrong.
Right. You know, speaking of dawning understanding in someone's eyes, I wasn't crazy about the scene where Laurel's staring at the little galaxy and it's just glowing in her eyes for, like, what feels like an insanely long amount of time. I was like, okay, guys, we got the point, like, about 5 minutes ago. You can stop zooming in on her eyes now.
What'd you think about the moment where Bug, I'm just calling him Bug. I don't know.
You can call him Bug.
What his name is. Bug goes...
Was it Edgar or something like that?
I literally don't care. he goes in and is looking for the cat. And so... And, like, the scene that he actually kidnaps her. You know?
What did I think of the scene where he kidnaps her?
Yeah, like, there's that whole moment where, you know, she's pointing down at the bug.
Right. Again, I thought that was so, like, I know it was supposed to be played for laughs, but, like, it was so, I don't know. I don't want to say the misogyny of it all, because that's, like, way too extreme of what I'm trying to get at. But, like, come on, guys. Like, really? Really? Were you making jokes about, like... I don't know. I was just, like, kind of done. And... Are you staring at your dog and making faces at your dog?
He started growling, so I'm trying to stop
him. Well, I'm pretty much... I'm almost done with speaking about Men in Black, so... But yeah, I was just like, really? I mean, actually thinking about it, maybe the alien being crouched under the table into that kind of square like space is like a throwback to what he did to the waiter in a oh, weird kind of way.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I love how he was just kind of like rolling his eyes while they were not flirting, because I was like the same way. I was like, come on, guys, get it done with. Yeah, again, him holding her hostage was like, come on, really?
Yeah.
But
the lady has to get held hostage, otherwise she has no place in the plot. Duh.
My God.
If you, I don't know if you know this, but Maggie was rolling her eyes very strongly.
Well, I was making a like kind of noise with my throat, so I don't know if that got picked up by the mic, but yeah, I hope you heard my eye roll from your headset. But like honestly, what the heck? I mean. Yeah, I don't know. That scene was, it just happened. It wasn't, like, horrible, but it wasn't great. So I kind of more or less ignored it. I was like, okay, well, this is just another step in the checklist in the sci-fi plot.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, she did help out when she saw that the front half of the alien was still alive and she, you know, blasts it and shoots it, right? But, like, I don't know. It just... Her character could have been so much better. Yeah. Yeah, her character could have been so much better. So, it's kind of a shame. I'm not editing that out. That's going to stay in the audio.
He's giving me these puppy dog eyes. Like, play with me.
Well, we're almost done. So, he can chill. And I can take a nap. And then I can go to the party. And then I can relax.
Sounds nice. But you don't know how pets work.
No, me. After we're done with this, I'm going to take a nap, and then I'm going to go to a party, and then I'm going to relax. No, I
mean, you said that Frog can chill. But Frog will chill precisely when he wants to chill.
Yeah.
A second earlier.
You're scaring me when you're waving that scissor around your mouth, dude. Don't do that. Anyway. Stop! Also, you're, like, weird and gross. But anyway. I'm not going to describe what you just did. But anyway.
So then we're at the end.
The ending. So
you.
We found out earlier that everything in the tabloids is true.
That was a great moment.
That was a genuinely heartwarming moment, seeing that he was reunited with his old love.
That wasn't what I was referring to, but yeah.
Oh, okay. What was your great moment then?
My great moment was that everything in the tabloids is true. Period. Like, that was just, I thought that was, like, really kind of, not... wasn't that clever, but it was clever enough that I was like, oh, I like it.
Yeah, it was cute.
Like, that's where he gets his news from, instead of, like, the New York Times. But the ending, you know, it was kind of gross with the big bug, and he swallows Kay to get the gun back.
Right.
Didn't they have more guns in the car?
Listen, man. They're running out of time. Because, you know, I had the same thing. I was thinking, why isn't the alien just killing everyone and getting on with it? But I think I started to realize he's also running out of time trying to get off the planet.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have time to, like, thoroughly murder anyone. He's just like, I'm going to get on the ship and leave, right?
Yeah, I guess I
so. Because I was, like, trying to figure out, why did he just shove her off instead of kill her? Why isn't he killing Will Smith until provoked?
Yeah.
Like, way provoked? It's because he, like, doesn't want to waste time. He just wants to get off the planet so before the planet implodes. So, yeah, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
I like how very, like, understated that was. Like, yeah, Earth's gonna explode, but this happens every Tuesday.
NBD!
It was pretty good.
Yeah. And so as for the ending, the whole thing with, I feel like I remember reading this as someone else's opinion, and I've incorporated it into my own, like I am wont to do, but... I think, like, the whole ending where it's like, ooh, Earth is in a galaxy that's in a bubble, that's marbles being played with by alien school children, was, like, a little much.
I didn't really take that literally, honestly.
Wait, how are you supposed to take that? How are you supposed to take that metaphorically? Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, like, it just, we're all little, we're small people in our own little universe.
Sure. But how are you not supposed to take that literally, Melissa? Literally, they show us zooming out until we see that they're in a marble that's being played with by an alien school child or something. Like, come on.
I don't know. It just felt, it didn't feel like that, like they were saying, literally, we're in a marble. It felt like, you know, our, what we think is really important and that what we are is just.
We're insignificant in the grand scheme of things. The
universe, yeah.
That's what makes me better about, that's what makes me feel better about, like, this whole, like, thing that just happened in the U.S. I'm like, honestly, this feels bad now, but this is insignificant compared to everything in is the whole totality of the universe.
Climate change.
Well, yeah, but, like, in whenever, when the sun burns out, will anyone care? No.
Somebody said that. Someone in politics said that recently.
I don't want that to be an attitude that politicians have. I'm just saying, like, as a, like, I'm not a nihilist either, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, in reality, in the actual grand scheme of things,
well, yeah, when the sun really burns matters. Out,
no one will be left to care, you know?
Yeah, I understand that, but...
But I don't want, I don't actually want people, especially politicians who are in charge of lots of things like climate change, and like, I don't want that to be their guiding principle, because that's horrible.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I don't really have any other notes on this film, do you?
I was reading kind of about some of the, like, the alternative plot, because they went back and changed some things. Towards the ending of production, I believe. It was actually going to be a much more complicated plot, where it was going to be multiple types of aliens trying to get this galaxy, I guess. But then all they had to do is kind of redo the subs in a lot of ways, and they did kind of change around the ending a little bit to make the Edgar, the bug, act slightly differently, because I think it was supposed to end with, like, a philosophical conversation between Edgar and Jay.
I could see that be set up with the whole bug and extermination and vermin thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that, I saw that be set up, but then they didn't
do it.
Yeah, they didn't really go that philosophical in the end.
I like this better than the
Yeah, I think this was a good, I think this still had, like, a bit of a message in it, but it doesn't need to be so heavy-handed and philosophical. Yeah. And I think it worked out.
It was more fun than, you know, too deep.
Yeah
I mean, yeah, films can go deep, but, like, calm yourself.
We can't all be Kubrick is what I'm gonna say. We can't all be Kubrick.
That's true. So. We definitely shouldn't want to be, though.
he was pretty good, though. He's like a genius, pretty much.
Can you imagine if we were all like that?
That'd be pretty that insufferable.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We would never get High School Musical.
That's true.
We're never all in this together, Maggie.
I want to sing the rest of it, but I don't actually know if I know the words. But yeah, overall, good film.
Definitely
would recommend. I don't know how the sequels hold up. Probably not well. But
from what I've heard, the second one's quite bad, and the third one's okay. But, like, I can definitely see why a sequel wouldn't be good, because, like, so many of the things that made this film fresh, you know, if they're just retread, they're not going to be as good. Because it was clever. It was, a lot of the things were interesting. Like, think about the tabloids and the different technology that they have. Like, if you just use it again, it's not going to be cool.
It's boring, yeah. Unless you revisit it in a different way. But, yeah it's a sequel, so they're not going to do that.
I think the only question I have left is, if you were Jay, would you have accepted
leaving my life behind?
Yeah.
And becoming a secret agent who is anonymous and has to kill aliens and eventually mind wipe myself at the end of my service.
Yep.
Well, probably not. I think I like my life the way it is. I don't think I would give it up.
Same.
Yeah, I think I'd be good. And also those little alien dudes creep me the heck out, so no.
Okay.
I would love to wipe that from my mind.
Nice. But yeah, I concur. I think anyone who... I think that would be an interesting angle, because I think anyone who would give up their life probably has some serious issues.
Yeah, what kind of person are they? And like, yeah, that's why I really wanted to dig deeper with that angle on Jay, but we never do find out why he chose to do it, like, really.
I mean, the only thing that they really offered us is basically just satiating your curiosity. That was essentially what they offered us, and that's definitely not enough
but
for
at
me.
what cost, you know what I mean? Right, like, exactly. At the cost of your whole life.
It's not enough for me, but...
Yeah. Like, okay, like, I already think aliens exist. I don't need to know how they look like when they're exploded all over my face. Like, I'm good, thanks. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny, I just want to bring this up real quick, because it's a show that I really enjoy, but Gravity Falls did an episode, or, well, I guess it depends on how you, because it had long-term implications for, like, the season, I guess, but they did have an episode where one of the, I guess, technologies or things that the main characters stumble upon is this, like, memory erasing gun.
Mm-hmm.
But they go with, like, the... They go with a more, like, you know, it'd be nice to forget unpleasant things, but ultimately we grow and learn from them kind of angle.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a character, and I don't want to give away which character this is, but there was a character who did abuse that memory wiping gun in the past. And it's just really sad. And, I mean, it's a children's show, so, like, ultimately there's some hope and happiness later on at the very end of the season or towards, but like, still, like, like Gravity Falls didn't shy away from, like, the horrors of, like, memory wipes, I guess. And I appreciated that. So, like, yeah, it was, like, interesting, like we were talking about earlier, like, they just treated it very blasé, like, oh, what if you give her leukemia or something, right? But, like, you know, like, they kind of mentioned that it could be serious, but they never really delve into it, so yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see if there was, like, I guess this is getting way too conspiracy theory, but like if during their service they have been mind wiped and seeing how that plays out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's getting really dark. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If there was like another alternate version of events where we could see every time that, like, before they got their minds wiped, like, what does that story or timeline look like versus like there, but again, that's like getting way too artsy and like philosophical or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, because I totally think it's possible that these agents are being mind wiped while they're working. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be very good if they knew that, but I think it's a total possibility based on what we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, but that's just me being really cynical and like weird and dark. I guess. But yeah, but yeah, overall I like this film. Do you have any parting notes before we sign off? Or
I really liked this film, like, a lot more than I expected, because it was sci-fi and it was clever, but it was also fun, and I feel like those are often mutually exclusive. Like,
yeah, I feel like people kind of think, oh, sci-fi is like dry or boring or like,
well,
like too philosophical.
It can be,
but
very
like,
dark.
Yeah, it could have been very dark, but they chose to go, like, way lighter.
Yeah, it was, like, you know, it was sci-fi comedy, and, like, there should be more of those, I think, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, there's a K-pop group called MIB. Just throwing that out into the universe, in case you're curious.
Yeah. We were laughing at the names of one of their songs, and you can go Google that if you want. But, yeah. MIB. I think I have two of their songs on my iTunes.
There's a song called Dash. It's pretty good.
It's pretty fun, yeah. You know what? Oh, shoot. I had the thought, and it's slipping out of my grasp.
It probably
what is
wasn't
it?
Worth anything.
I think it was,
I
though.
Know
that, though. Man. Okay. Oh, right. No, I got it back. So, recently, I found out that Into the Badlands Season 2 is going to be coming out soon.
Yay.
So, yay! The show is not going to die. We'll have more to talk about after we're done with Sense8 and stuff. The problem will be finding more movies. So, if you guys want to send any suggestions our way, we'd really appreciate it. We're still waiting for our very first submission, our very first recommendation. And guys, we're like episode 30-something. Like, I know you're out there listening. So, like, come send us some, I don't know, what do you want us to review? As long as it's not, like, as long as it's, like, within reason, like, I'd be totally happy to watch it and talk about it.
Even if it's not within reason, I'll probably watch it.
Well, what if it's, like, Seven Sons or whatever?
I will do it for you. I think that would be a lot better movie to watch if you were watching it with friends. And yeah. Possibly making it a drinking game as to how many times you can cringe.
Ooh.
But, yeah. Not a good movie, guys. I think it's a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dang, so that's pretty bad.
That should tell you something.
That is pretty bad. Anyway, so I guess
that's all for
we
me.
Are done. Yeah. So thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be back next week with Sense8.
Yay.
And I think we're going to be doing our last two episodes of Sense8, right?
That's very exciting, yeah.
It's crazy that it's coming to a close, man. It feels like it's been a journey.
I feel like it's been forever.
It's been a long couple of months, man.
Good, but yeah, long.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what TV show we're going to do next. If you want to pitch something, that's cool, too. Otherwise, we'll just pick our own thing. But yeah, we'll be doing a new TV show after we're done with Sense8. And then hopefully covering more movies. So yeah, have a good night. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.